accession number 26844, reel 7.
Mr. Blake, reel 7. We're talking about the period in Germany after the end of the war. Where were you based? Where were you living when you were thinking? I mean, what sort of barracks or billets did you have?
Well, we were living in barracks. Not in barracks. We were living in big halls in Bad Nenndorf because this was a spa town. So there was lots and lots of accommodation there and big places for us to sleep in. And of course, well, the company established itself. We had facilities of the cookhouse and, we used to feed quite well there. No, that was, living in Bad Nenndorf was quite good. I mean, it was a lovely place and very pleasant. There was big fields there. Our CO Major Dougie Green wanted us all to play rugby and we had to play rugby and got knocked about by him, of which he got quite a lot of pleasure from. I wouldn't tell him that.
And did you start to get on with the Germans, I mean, after the first period?
Oh, yeah, eventually. I think that everybody softened a bit and they approached us a bit more easily. And, so we got on quite towards the end of my time in Germany. I didn't get any problems at all. I mean, I think it softened. I think attitude softened and... attitude softened.
Were you aware of the black market at all?
There was always a bit. In the services, we had our own black market. We always had... we'd always pinched a bit of stuff here and pinch a bit of stuff there and... barter it to not to the civilians, but between ourselves. I mean,
so you didn't barter with, because a lot of people did barter with the Germans.
Oh no, we didn't barter with the Germans. No,
why not?
We just didn't do it. I mean, you know, you're talking about people. I was with people who'd been through, 4 years of war. You know, with these Germans, and they were going to throw their arms around or make their life any easier. They didn't want disrespect for them, but I don't think they threw their arms around. I mean, because at that time in, I think earlier on in, January the company, I think, broke up. Well, in about 2 or 3 months previous to that, a lot of our company went on Lilac and Python leave, which was rewards for 4 years overseas. They had nothing to thank the Germans for. I mean, some of them were resentful.
You weren't aware of the point that most people did black market to make a lot of money from the Germans, not
well,
to
yeah,
help them.
Yeah, there's always bad guys. There's always, you know, always. Yeah, certainly we
but
knew that.
But
some,
you knew...
But I didn't know anybody, no. I didn't know... I might have known, yeah, perhaps one or two I might have thought, well, a bit dodgy, but... I didn't think it was... No great thing, anyway.
And... So, what about they were starting on the leave in lieu of Python and long leaves and demobilisations.
Yeah, well, that was October, November time. I say quite a lot of the company went on Lilac leave in lieu of Python and Python leave, which was for 4 years overseas. So, quite a lot of the company was going away. And these were blokes, I say, they had 4 years at war, you know, so... they were just fed up with all what went on in the army, I suppose, and just were so pleased to get home.
Well, I was going to say, the disbandment of the company, that's...
Yeah, and then I went on... I was made up to Lance Corporal.
When was that?
This was in about... then they went on Lilac leave. This must have been October, November. I was made up to Lance Corporal, and...
did that make much difference? In reality?
No, not really. It didn't make much difference, no. And then I went on leave, actually. And before I went on leave, our platoon officer, Lieutenant Townsend, said to me and my friend Frankie Brooks, who was still with me, what you two should do, should stay in the army. You should sign off the army, you know, you'll have a good career and you'll have a... Old Frank and I weren't very keen on that. But anyway, I went on leave, and when I came back, he had told me that although I'd only had a strike for a short time, but I would be made up to corporal, on my return, because I mean, some of the others had got left the company, and they were, you know, we were suitable to be NCOs. But when I got back, the news was the company was being disbanded. And so that was in, you know, 5th or 6th of January, something like that, you know, they were disbanded. And I was posted to Brussels, to a transport platoon called 1521 Platoon.
Platoon or company?
A platoon, just a platoon, yeah. So about 30 trucks, and they were in a chateau just on the outskirts of Brussels. I remember it was the end of the Acht-en-Tachtig tram route, the 88 tram route was on the end of that. And so that was, strangely enough, that was one of the jobs we'd done, was picking up mail from Brussels Airport and taking it up to, Wesel or Wesel, somewhere up into Germany we used to take it. That was an all-night trip. We'd go and pick it up in the morning, come back, have a rest during the day, and then go up at night, get there in the morning, unload your mail, have a sleep, and then come back the following night. That was one of the trips we used to do. But other than that, was just running around Brussels with whatever, you know, they wanted us to carry. You know,
what type of stuff? I mean, was it mainly
military? Well, again, yeah, not so much ammunition, but army supplies, probably. You know, food stuff, more or less. You know, there wasn't a lot. We used to carry petrol, jerry cans of petrol. But not much of that. Not so much of that we didn't transport. But this mail job was quite a big job, as you can imagine. You know, you have two nights away, and perhaps you had a night back at camp, and then you went up again to do this mail run. You know, quite a few, and trucks were going up there all the time. Went to Antwerp a few times. You know, just around Brussels. Louvain was another one. I remember going up one night. And I was going through a little village, and there was some religious festival going on. Well, as we was driving along this road, because we had a courier with us, and he sat in the back. He used to sit in the back guarding the mail. And as we was going along this road, I've got memories of the trees going by, because you're on the right-hand side, driving on the right-hand side, you're on the right side. So these trees are quite near, and they're going, whoom, whoom, whoom. And I was thinking to myself, gosh, you know, enough to send you to sleep, this is. And then suddenly I came into this village that had all these religious figures about, and for a little while I stopped the truck and looked, and I thought, do you know, I've hit one of them trees, I've finished up in heaven. And I got out and stamped my feet on the road, walked back and spoke to the courier in the back of the truck. But I know it sounds a bit stupid now, but it's surprising, you know, when you're doing these things, all sorts of things you think that.
Were you often tired when driving? I mean, you know, because it's supposed to be very dangerous now.
Yeah.
I mean, what effects did tiredness have on your driving?
Yeah, we was often tired, yeah, very tired. You know, because the army was no respecter of 5 hours on and a half hour off or whatever, or driving 10 hours at a stretch or what, or 24 hours, you know. It didn't matter if you'd been up all night. When we used to go up to the guns and we was up all night, we were still expected sometimes to go out during the day as well. So I think tiredness was probably something you had to brush aside, you know.
How did you keep? I mean, did you fall asleep ever? Or
no, some of the people did. In fact, George Chevis, who I've mentioned before in this, he hit a tree one night just outside Brussels. He was fell asleep at the wheel and hit a tree, but I think he broke his leg or something like that, but no, not a lot of that really.
You weren't given anything to help keep you awake,
oh,
were you?
Oh no.
So anything else about your time at Brussels? That's from January to June 46.
January to June, was it? No, I don't think so. I met another fellow who I'm very friendly with, Len Wellams, who was the corporal in charge of the office there, who got, actually, because then I came up for my lilac leave, or Python leave then, my 6 weeks leave at the end of June, and it was mainly Len Wellams who got it for me, because it was something that 1521 Platoon, or nobody about seemed to know of, but at any rate, he got it for me. So I came home on that, and then I was posted to the War Office Car Company at in Albany Street, near Regent's Park. Albany Street Barracks, I was posted to there then.
War Office Car Company?
Car Company, yeah. Which supplied cars for the War Office and, you know, supplies cars and chauffeurs, as it were, for the car, for the War Office. And you know, old Monty's car and a lot of the General's cars used to come into there. And they thought it was wonderful if as I knew London, that I'd drive one of their cars. But I said, well, no, I'd sooner not do that. I'd been driving for all these years and I wanted to go out. I was going out in the army in a few months' time and I wanted to learn something from the army. And I was interested in being a mechanic. So they very obligingly said to me, OK, you can be a mechanic. So I worked in their workshops. And we used to have all the big people's cars come in, and one of the cars that I remember coming in was Queen Mary had this Daimler, and she was always complaining that it was making a noise in the back. So I, among others, had to go and put on our best battle dress to sit in the back of the boot of her car, her Daimler, with the lid shut and listen for the rattles. But you know, very few of us ever heard any rattles. And so when the sergeant who used to drive her came in to pick up the car, and he would say, oh, how'd you get on with the rattles? Oh, yeah, we found the rattles, they're all right now. That was one of my memories of there. At the time I was there, and all there was a big murder in Regent's Park, and it was all on parade a few times, inspected a few times for blood and...
What was that about?
There was a murder. Somebody got murdered in some villas who lived just run alongside Albany Street. And a soldier was suspected. They suspected one of the soldiers and from the barracks. And so they inspected us and asking us questions, you know, persistently. Then stayed there till... I think it was about November time.
That's what it says, yeah.
When I went to Guildford... to get my uniform, and then you pass to Z Reservist, you pass to Reserve, the Army Reserve.
Now, what happened with the demob? I mean, were you given a suit?
Well, I went down to Guildford, and was, you know, he was given a suit and shirts and civilian stuff, you know, civilian shoes and things like that, and very ill-fitting suit I got. Well, nobody got it. It used to be a bit of a joke then about... Or if you saw somebody, is that your demob suit? That was one of the things I used to say. And very often it was your demob suit. And then I came home and had a bit of a stay at home. And
now, what were you planning to do? I mean, what job were you going to do?
Well, I went back to my old job, was delivering confectionery and tobacco around London. I went back to my old job for a little while.
And were you happy doing that?
Oh yeah, I think so, yeah. I didn't mind. It was not it was worry-free, I suppose, really, that I did have
you,
to...
You'd wanted to shift on when you were in the army to
mechanic. Oh yeah, that's right, yeah. I couldn't have learnt much when I was a mechanic. But I think, and when I soon after I came out, I had to see the doctor because I wasn't sleeping, and because he said, well, this is some reaction from the services, you know, and I used to have to, he told me that if I didn't sleep, get up and do something. So for a month or so, that's what I used to do. I used to get up and make little things. I had a little fretwork saw and used to make clock cases and all sorts of other little things.
And this is insomnia?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, and
you couldn't sleep?
That's right, yeah.
Now, did you think that was what it was? Because, I mean, you hadn't had, I mean, your experiences hadn't been that terrible. Do you know what I mean? What do you think it was?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, I know, yeah, didn't have terrible experience, but I think it was the duration of the experiences, you know, because, you know, the bombing in London I'd had, you know, I'd had all that time of bombing in London, then I'd gone into the army, you know, I was only in the army 3 months, and I was on another battlefield, you know, and there was more, yeah, so no, that's right, not terrible experiences, but, well, at any rate, that's what he said to me.
Did it work?
Yeah, so after about a month, yeah, I got back to normal, getting up in the
Was there any other effect of your wartime experiences?
No, I don't think so.
Did you stay as a driver, delivery driver?
Yeah, I stayed as a delivery driver, and then I was made a rep. I used to deliver to London. Croydon was one of the journeys I used to do, and South London. And the rep we had there, I think he retired, and I was asked if I wanted to do that job. And I thought, well, I know all them customers, so I went, and that's what I'd done for quite a few more years. But of course, in 1951, I was called up for Z Reserve.
Now, we're quite interested. Tell us what happened when you went to Z Reserve.
Well, this Z Reserve, I was called, again, went to Lark Hill on Salisbury Plain. And we went out on manoeuvres, and I was appointed the platoon Bren gunner. Now, I hadn't even held a Bren gun without being the Bren gunner. And because everything they done was so farcical. I mean, you know, we all arrive, and the next day they want to go on a 5-mile cross country run. I mean, where were they coming from, these people? You know, we just come out of civilian life, people who'd never seen a gun fired or anything, you know, shouting and yelling orders at you, you know, it was so unreal, you know. And of course, we all had two uniforms issued to us, two pairs of boots, and all this stuff, you know. For a fortnight went out on manoeuvres at times, which was so far removed from what I'd experienced under war conditions that I just can't, you know, I couldn't believe it. So it was absolutely a terrible waste of time and rubbish. Because when I got called up for it, we was preparing then to make preparations to get married, and so of course that didn't go down very well. But there you are, so that was probably the end of my army.
Do you keep up with, do you keep up with many of your old comrades? Was there an old comrades association?
Well, 288 Company had a reunion for 50 years. So that was from about 1948 to probably about 98. We had a reunion, but the 50th was held at the Union Jack Club in London, whereas our figures had been 200 and or nearly 300 to start with. Our figures had dropped to then, I think there was only 14 of us, and that was included some of our wives. Union Jack Club, where we held that one, weren't particularly interested in us because we didn't have enough numbers, which I thought was a bit much, really, when you come to think it was a services club, and there was all these silly old buggers were trying to meet again, and they weren't making things very easy for us.
Did you recognise me? Was it important to meet some of your old comrades again?
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Yeah, wonderful, yeah. I enjoyed seeing them all again, yeah.
Could you still recognise them?
We were for 50 years. I was going to them. I mean, I suppose I went to all of them, you know. I don't ever remember missing any. I mean, we just went to all of them, yeah. And, of course, you know, after a few years, you don't talk so much about the war. You talk about your life now, you know, and your family and things that you're doing, you know.
So you attended the reunions right until the last one in about 1998?
That's right, yeah.
That was
the last one. They started about 48 and ended about 98. As I say, Dougie Green, who was running it then, doing a great job, found that, you know, that we had a problem with booking the Union Jack Club because there wasn't enough of us, which is a bit tough, really. But there you are. So he decided, well, let's go out on the 50th. So that's when we started having our reunions.
Thank you very much.